All right, this is week three of our world tour. We are now in Belgium. Got a couple of Trappist beers here. We got Chimay, as well as Trappists, Roquefort, St. Fulian, and Affligem.
Straight Craftus Erectus right now.
Oh, don't drink that beer. That's for the bugs. Here, have this wine.
I'm quite a few ounces into the show right now.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
All right.
Go ahead, Chris.
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast 2012, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in not only American craft beer, but beers from coast to coast and everywhere around the globe. I'm Chris, your host this week in Dallas, Texas. That's right, folks. You have been blessed by 2 weeks in a row.
Whoa.
And joining me, as like always, is
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And
gang's all here.
I have finally caught up with the other beer coasters after my little layover.
Customs a bitch.
And we are all in Belgium this week.
The motherland.
We are going to be drinking some Belgian beers. For our FC, we are going to start out with the, well, a couple of us are going to start out with the Chimay Grand Reserve Blue. Toby and Michael will be drinking that one. And then
Chris didn't get our itinerary, you know, being held up in customs. It was just tough to kind of get caught up with us. So.
It's just a nightmare.
You know that first stop, Chimay.
Yeah. Although I will say that people have the wrong idea about cavity searches. They're really not all that bad. So, Mike, what are you going to be trying other than that?
Well, I'm not going to try the cavity search, but what I am going to try is St. Fulian, and I'm going to try their triple.
Sweet. And Toby?
I will be trying the Affligem Noel. It's their Christmas beer.
I almost picked that one up instead of the ones that I got. I was really close to doing it and then didn't. I'm going to actually do two beers this week also. I'll start off with the Delirium Nocturnum. And then I will be trying the Trappist Roquefort number 8.
Cool.
Without further ado.
This is the Beer Coasters World Tour.
So, you guys want me to talk about your beer that you're doing this week?
Yes.
I can. Okay, so.
Yes, please. We love the while we're trying silkiness. To
uncage it. You can talk about it.
So
it's going to take a while.
I wasn't able to get the beer. Okay, I shouldn't say I wasn't able to. I'd already picked up the other ones, so I decided to do the other ones that I had. So they're trying the Chimay Grand Reserve Blue. This is from Bière de Chimay out of Beaulieu, Belgium.
Now, I've heard people pronounce it Chimay or Chimay. I guess it either or, right?
I don't know. Potato, potato.
Yeah, Chimay sounds better than Chimay. Yeah. Chimay sounds like the way that Americans would say it.
Yeah. Chimay.
Exactly.
It's chamois.
Yeah.
Oh, chamois.
Yeah. Their website is www.chimay.com. The style of this beer is a dark Belgian strong ale.
Oh, my favorite.
And it was first brewed in 1948 as a Christmas beer. It can also be referred to as the Chimay Blue or Blue Cap overseas. And this one is actually one of the Belgian beers that's brewed by the Cistercian Trappist monks.
That's right. Got a Trappist beers.
A 9% ABV, and I think it's really difficult with beers from overseas. They don't tend to want to tell you anything about what's in them. So yeah. Rather than get all into that, I think crack it.
Ancient Belgian monk secret.
Oh. Whoa! Oh. That was powerful.
Damn. I've been hit!
Wow. Nah, baby, that's just sediment.
Glug, right. Glug.
Yeah, the real glug, glug. Oh, so pretty.
I got my proper glassware. Yes, indeedy. The Chimay glass.
I wrote graffiti.
I got no head.
Solid Yeti thumb of head.
A Yeti thumb. Not just any finger. But the thumb.
Yeah.
Cloudy
apple cider kind of color.
Yeah, it's like got that brownish.
Rich apple cider, you know?
Yeah.
With all the spices and appley goodness.
You can see that like concentrated stream of carbonation coming up from the middle.
Mine's got a pretty, I mean, that my head's hanging in there. It's really fluffy.
You know, Tubby, when you said concentrated stream of carbonation coming up from the middle, all I could picture was a couple little Ghostbusters down there in the bottom, like shooting towards the top. Yeah.
Don't cross them. All right.
That'd be awesome. A couple little Ghostbusters in the bottom of the glass shooting up carbonation.
I get a whiff of a whiff of brown sugar.
An apple. Oh, it smells like a caramel apple.
Yeah, like a baked apple even.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or even like applesauce where you get the cinnamon and stuff in the applesauce.
Yeah, or maybe like apple something
apple
else.
Apple juice or apple cider or apple.
Or maybe something else apple-y.
Apple jam?
No.
No?
Not apple jam.
No.
Apple jacks? No, not apple jacks.
No. That's really all I'm getting. There's a little bit of a...
I'm getting some...
Like a mustiness.
Spiciness in there. Like a...
Yeah. Nutmeg? No.
It's almost like a sweet cinnamon.
Yeah. I was about to tell you guys off mic that I haven't had Chimay in a long time. And I remember the first time I had it, I think it was at Jade's house in PB. And one of us, I think it was like Ratlow or somebody, brought a bottle and was like, this is the fancy stuff right here. Like this, if you want some fancy, nice beer, this is it right here. And I remember drinking it and thinking, man, this is like champagne.
It tastes fancy.
Taking a sip, yeah. Very apple-y.
It does. It kind of has a little apple to the flavor. And it kind of dries up quicker than I expected it to. I thought higher ABV, I figured it kind of tend to be a little bit sweeter. But it actually has a little hot bitterness that dries it right up.
It's very, very carbonated, so it really fills your mouth, and it's very airy. It's like a palate cleanser at the same time as giving you lots of these apple notes. I'm even picking up on the alcohol warming, the brown sugar, maybe even a little bit of vanilla.
I'm getting kind of a bready vanilla flavor now. It's a little getting a little bready.
There's something else in there. Maybe it's those spices, but...
This is a tough... You know, I'm going to pair this with anything.
Whoa. Well, there's this funky cracker smell now. Yeah, like one of those...
I would say a chocolate croissant.
So wasn't that the name of your rap band back in high school? The Funky Crackers.
Chocolate croissant?
No, the Funky Crackers. Oh, yeah.
Chocolate croissant.
Yeah, food pairing. I don't know, man. Maybe just like a cheese plate for me. You know, with a variety of cheeses, not just, you know, I think that maybe some sharp cheeses would go good, as well as some really creamy, lighter cheeses. Maybe some sausage.
Yeah, it's got some interesting spiciness, but everything's kind of subtle.
Oh, yeah. Right Beer gives this a 100 out of 100.
Wow.
99 to style. Beer Advocate users give it a 95. And how have the Alstrom brothers not weighed in on this one?
No?
No. I mean, it's because Chimay probably didn't send them a bottle, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, but you'd think it'd be one that the Alstrom brothers would have tried early on, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they've obviously tried it. They just didn't review it. So, anyway, that's the Chimay Grand Reserve Blue.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Lemu?
Lemu?
Yeah. Anyway, so for my first beer this week, I am going to be trying the Delirium Nocturnum. This is going to be from Bruges. Hi, who, you, something or other. If you really care, go to their website at www.delirium.be. If you're going to go to that website, make sure that you're at least 16 years old.
Yeah, to all of our listeners out there that are under 16.
Don't go there.
You're not allowed.
The style of this beer is a Belgian strong dark ale. ABV of 8.5%. I am going to crackers. So I've always liked these bottles. They're like, I don't know if they're, I don't know what they put on them.
They look like they're ceramic. Well,
it looks like it's some sort of coating over a glass bottle, but it makes it look like a ceramic bottle.
Yeah. Crazy.
Woo. Yeah. So there's some aromas coming off. It's like a dark brown. Some ruby kind of highlights. I got about a finger's worth of head. The label's got a little elephant on it.
Pink elephant.
Yep.
On the nose, nice dark fruits right up the you know, in the front.
Right up the wazoo.
Yeah. Sweet and a little bit of nuttiness. When I cracked it, it was like, right away. It has a strong alcohol aroma to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Take a sip.
So we got the Crazy Dave.
Oh.
And the Chris.
This is
pre-sip lip smacking.
Taking a sip, yeah.
I think he likes this one. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
This is one tasty guy.
Whoa.
Yeah, just like the smell, very sweet, but very dry. Lots of fruits, lots of caramely fruits. It's interesting because when you guys were talking, because yours, the Chimay Blue, is also a strong Belgian strong dark ale, same as this one.
Yeah.
Yes, we use the word strong loosely.
So when you started talking about apple notes, I was kind of like, that doesn't sound... That isn't really what I picture when I picture a strong dark ale, right?
Yeah.
But now I see, because there's definitely some of those apple-y kind of caramel, maybe not as much as you guys seem to have been getting. Mine are a little more on the dark fruits side of things.
On the dark fruit side.
Very tasty, though. I like it a lot. If I was going to pair this with something...
These are tough, man. Tough food pairings.
Yeah.
I'm thinking something along the lines of like a something Toby ready. Cheated. You cheated?
Yeah, cheese plate. Mm. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
I'm going to pair this with cheese. Not quite sure what kind. So just put a bunch on there.
So I'm thinking like a bread pudding for this, but more Ooh. Bready than sweet. If that makes sense. So something that's not an overly sweet bread pudding, but something along those lines.
Yeah.
I think would go really well.
I love bread pudding.
Good stuff. So yeah, that is the Delirium Nocturnum from whatever that brewery is that I can't pronounce. The rate beer rating on it was a 94 out of 100. Beer Advocate users give it an 88, and the Alstrom Brothers give it a 94.
Did you watch that Prohibition show, Chris? Did you watch all of them?
I don't think I ended up watching the whole thing.
Well, you know that I think it was on the first one, they talked about delirium tremens, which was the name that they gave the side effect. It was like a pre... You know how they had the reefer madness that happened in like the 50s and 60s? Well, the pre-prohibition days, they had this similar thing where they were trying to say that people who drank alcohol like went insane and all this stuff, and they were seeing visions, and that's where like the pink elephants come from and all that. They actually had a name for that, and it was called delirium tremens.
Nice. Which these guys actually make a beer called delirium tremens.
Yeah, that's the only one I've had from those guys is the tremens. When I was watching the show, I was like, no way! That's freaking awesome!
It's gonna drive me insane!
It's like LSD, man.
Very cool, man.
Gemini Lounge. A chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
I am going to try Saint Ephulian, and this is their triple. And this is from St. Fulian, also, is it Fryart? Not sure. It's the Fryart family, I believe, that brews St. Fulian stuff. And this is out of Leroel, Belgium. I probably just completely butchered that.
Oh, yeah.
Their website is www.saint-fulian.com. That's Fulian as in fuel, but not yet. Listen, it's a little different. Fulian.com.
Fulian.
So they've been brewing since 1873. The ABV on this beer is 8.5, and I'm going to crack it.
So was there actually a Saint Fulian, or do they?
Yeah, it's something. I think the story goes that this guy, this Saint Fulian guy, had to hide from some people in this town.
You know, had this all up, and I don't have it up there.
You know who would be really good being with this kind of stuff. I'm thinking Sipping Bear would know this kind of stuff.
Oh, it's, yes.
Because he's such Sipping a good storyteller.
Yeah.
Why don't we ask Sipping Bear about the story of St. Fuley?
I think we might have him via satellite.
Sweet.
Back in the States.
In the Yukon.
Well, hello. I'm Sipping Bear, and this is the story of the Wolfhound and the Monk. In the 7th century, a wolfhound bit the bare hand of a monk who, endeavoring to destroy him, he gave himself a heavy slap. Escaping, the wolfhound said mockingly, "You who have wished to revenge, even with death, the nip of a dog, see what you have done to yourself to add insult to injury." The monk replied, "I can easily make peace with myself. But I know there is no intention to hurt. But you, an ill-favored and contemptible dog who delights in biting humans, I wish I could have killed you even if you had incurred a heavier penalty. Once again, I'm Sipping Bear. Thank you for listening."
That was an amazing awesome. Story. That guy, man, every
Thank
time.
Thank you, Sipping Bear.
He, man, I mean, and you'd think, you know, all the way up in, you know, the Northwest Arctic, that he'd know about Belgian history yeah. and culture.
It's just, he is just, like, he is a masterful storyteller.
He's so good, he's an amazing I don't man. Even care if it's not real, if it's not true.
It never is with him. Man, he's a great storyteller. I poured it while Sipping Bear was telling our fantastic story there. All kinds of sediment floating around. I didn't keep the yeast in the bottle here. It's all over the place. It's very cloudy, light golden color, almost orange. It's a little more yellow than orange. I get about a pinky finger of head. Man, there's sediment floating everywhere. Like a yeasty wonderland in there.
Did you say chunks? It looks like chunks from here.
It's, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can see it, but I mean, they're just floating everywhere in the glass. Yeah. I should have let it settle a little bit. But
pretty gnarly.
On the nose.
This.
Whoa. Like big honey aroma, like a honey lemon, but like a real raw honey smell. Like you can almost smell, you know, like a honeycomb.
Wow. Beeswax.
It's amazing that like this, how much like honey this smells.
Did you get ingredients or no?
No, I did not.
They don't tell you.
Yeah, it's a big with. Secret.
Hops, yeast, malted yeah. barley, water.
There you go. So, beyond that, there's some clove. But man, this is just a really rich honey aroma. I'm just going to take a sip. I mean, I could smell the sip, just, you know, smell the honey all day, but...
Taking a sip, yeah!
Not surprising. Honey,
and lemon,
and the taste, and then it's kind of a caramely flavor that just kind of washes over the tongue.
It's very interesting, like when we start drinking these, about the difference between a true Belgian beer and an American interpretation of a Belgian beer.
Yeah. Stuff. Oh yeah. Yeah.
What I've always been amazed by with the Belgian beers, more than any others, you know, that we've tried, is the fact that they only use, you know, those three or four ingredients, mm-hmm. and that you can pick out these things. They're not adding caramel. They're not adding honey. They're not adding vanilla.
Right.
It's all these things that are coming out in the complexity of the beer just through these ingredients, and that always
it's
really impressive to me to be able to bring out those things.
Hundreds of years of doing this in probably a lot of the same vessels, using the same paddles, using the yeah. same methods, the same recipes.
It's one of those things stuff. That even if you went there and studied what they did, you wouldn't be able to replicate it because of, like what you said, if they're using the same wooden paddles that, you know, have absorbed all those things, you know, throughout the years, that's going to come off in the brew, you know, just like with a barrel, you know, we'll share the flavor with the beer.
Yeah,
it's the same type of thing. So,
same with those English beers. Like you had that Stingo a couple weeks ago, and they had it in their own like casks and stuff. And
yeah,
that's the only place you can, you know, you can't recreate that anywhere else.
Yeah,
and I'm sure water has a lot to do with it.
I'm getting kind of a peppery spiciness in there too. Like it's almost like white pepper, maybe like white pepper and honey.
Hmm. White pepper.
It's got a bit of creaminess in the mouthfeel, but not too much. Because the carbonation is actually still, you know, fairly decent. If I'm going to pair this with something, but I'm going to have to go with like a ham. I mean, any kind of pork would go well with this. But even go kind of the opposite of the spectrum and do the pork loin, like a pork loin with some kind of, you know, apple glaze or something like that would be pretty good too. Very interesting. Rate Beer rates this 98 out of 100. And Beer Advocate users rate this a 90, which is exceptional. And the Alston Brothers have not weighed in on this beer.
Yeah, right there.
Sorry. No, I keep burping here. So yeah, check this one out. This is St. Felion's Triple.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
All right, this is Toby in Western Belgium. Actually, I don't know where. Actually, I'm in Flemish, so I'm more south.
I don't know where I am. I'm four triples deep.
Yeah.
I wish.
No. I'm four dark Belgians deep. Okay, so the beer I am trying
is that a monk or a tall Jawa?
A freakishly tall Jawa. Okay, so this is the Afligem Noel. This is the brewery is Afligem.
Afligem.
They are from Opwijk, Belgium. It's the Flemish part of Belgium. I don't understand. They've been brewing.
I don't understand.
I don't understand this language.
I don't understand.
No. They've been brewing since 1935, but the abbey has been there since 1074. So I'm not sure if like they went, you know, mainstream in 1935, or if I don't know if they've been brewing the entire, you know, 1,000 years. Well, it says here that the Afligem Abbey ales are being brewed in Belgium according to the original recipe since 1074. Ooh, okay, so.
Are they like the second oldest brewery or something?
If that's the case, I think the
Weinstefaner
is only like 1100 right? something. So,
no,
I don't know.
10 Weinstefaner's something.
Anyway, so this 9% ABV, this is also a Belgian dark strong, according to Beer Advocate. Couldn't get any ingredients. Cage and cork configuration. This is a 750 milliliter or 1 pint 9.4 fluid ounces. Let's pop it. Nice pop. Like it. Glug, glug, Belgians. So yeah, this is their Christmas beer. This is the Noel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a thin head. It's quickly dissipating. The color is a very clear copper in color with some golden highlights. But yeah, very like a reddish copper color. Very clear. Not as much carbonation as the Chimay. Or Chimay. Very little actually carbonation going on here.
Chimay.
Ooh.
Weinstefan 1040.
Ah, they got him by 30 years.
Man. I didn't know Gwen Stefani made beer.
Gwen Stefani? Hello, welcome to Germany. Make sure you try a Gwen Stefan beer. this nose is nice. Ooh, there's like a very fragrant lemon.
I cannot stop
lemon.
With the hiccups. Sorry.
I had them really bad earlier too. That's weird.
Freaking Belgians. And their yeast.
It smells good. It's very citrusy and like lemony and like a lemon zest, but a very clean, super clean, fragrant lemon.
Oh, yeah. New Belgian almost, Windex, now with lemon zest.
It almost smells like a lemon head. That's really, and there's a little bit of like a toastiness on the nose. Yeah.
Right. I can't tell if Mike is over there trying to cure hiccups or take a really big shot.
It's less way less carbonation.
Don't tell me it tastes great, but it's less filling. Yeah. We'll have to kill you.
It has less carbonation, but it has more of a zippy mouthfeel.
Doodah.
Yeah, zippity doodah mouthfeel. It's very dry. There's a little bit of cinnamon, maybe some allspice. You know what this kind of tastes like? It's like a pumpkin beer without the pumpkin, if that makes any sense. Caramel, like very toasted caramel. Almost like a burnt caramel. Interesting. It's a little more lively than the Chimay. The Chimay was more like
the caramel.
Chimay was more like smooth and creamy. This one has a little bit more of a bite to it, a little bit more bitterness, and very dry. Jeez, lots. Oh, the umlaut is over the E on Noel. I thought it was over the O.
Fooled you.
A little bit of alcohol warming going on. This is interesting. It definitely tastes like a holiday offering. That's for sure.
Holiday offering.
Yeah. Food pairing. I think it would be a cop out to say like turkey dinner or a glazed ham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a cop out. But a cheese plate's not.
True. I'm trying to find something else. I'm trying to not cop out here. Something with like maybe pecans, maybe pecan pie.
Oh. There you go.
There. Pecan pie with whipped cream.
Pecan.
Pecan. This will go good with some pecan pie down and right about now, yeah? So this is the...
That is the worst Belgian accent I've ever heard.
This is the Affligem Noël. Check it out. RateBeer gave this a 96 out of 100, and Beer Advocate users came in with a 91, and the Bros with a 92. So they liked it just a little bit better than the rest of the Beer Advocate users. Check out their website, affligembeer.be. That's affligembeer.be. And as they say in Flemish Belgium, op u gezondheid.
Bless you.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada, with happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. With a wide variety of hard-to-find craft beer on draft and bottle. Special tappings every month. Don't forget to stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft coupon. That's right, Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
All right. So for my second beer of the week, I am trying the Trappist Rochefort.
I think it's Rochefort.
I think so, too. Rochefort number 8. This is from Brasserie de Rochefort, Abbey de Notre Dame de Saint Remy de. I couldn't find that.
What was the last?
Exactly. Couldn't find a website for them. The style of this beer. So the style of this beer, I was looking, and when I was doing the research, Beer Advocate calls it a double. But then when I was untapping it, they call it a Belgian strong dark ale, like the other ones that we've done. So I wouldn't expect it to be a double at 9.2%, which is what this is.
No.
That seems double usually isn't 9.2%. The Trappist Roquefort 8. I'm going to go ahead and crack it. So I'm trying to... I think I've had this one before. I know I've had a couple of their beers. It might have been the 10 that I had, though.
Hey, Delirium does a Noel also.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that. All right. On the pour, looks a lot like the Delirium Nocturnum. A little bit lighter in color. Very brown. Got about a finger of head. The head's a lot different. It's a lot fluffier, and I expect there to be some more lacing than the other one had. The other one was very carbonated, but dissipated quickly. Got a nice color on it. Kind of the brown with the ruby highlights. It's kind of hazy. Oh, on the nose, chocolate. That's what I pick up first. Maybe a little bit of apple again. Some caramel. It's not. It doesn't have a real strong aroma to it. It's kind. It's very subtle.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, this yeah. This is tasty. The caramel's in there. There's a little bit of like dark cherry, a little sourness to it, which is nice.
Now, Chris, with your last beer, you called it one tasty guy, but you know, in season 3. We refer to those beers as Craftus Erectus.
Oh, sorry.
One tasty guy was so season 2.
I'm still stuck in season 2, so.
You need to catch up. When you caught up to Belgium.
Yeah.
You catch up the season, you know what I'm saying? Craftus Erectus.
We're on Aleflix.
That's a great idea. Yeah, it's got the dryness that you kind of expect with these Belgian beers. I'm liking the sour in here. It's not like a really pronounced sour, but it's just a little bit. I'm a big fan of sour beers.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
This it almost tastes like a sour brown because it's got those. Because you know how a lot of times you'll get a sour beer and it's like sour cherries or it's like vinegar or it's
right.
You know, this is more like a sour brown, so it has some of those caramely sweetness. Like roasted notes, but just with a tinge of vinegar around the edges.
I like my vinegar on the edges, that's for sure.
I like my notes roasted.
This Craftus is getting me erectus. Is that how it goes?
Sort of.
Close enough.
This is good, man. I'd really, really enjoy this. I just pulled it out of the refrigerator. I think it could warm up just a little bit.
Now, did you say that these guys were Trappist or no?
I don't know for sure.
See, now, if we were good beer coasters, we would know all 7 Trappist breweries by heart, but...
I mean, they're called Trappist Roquefort, so I...
Well, there you go.
I would assume...
Yeah, probably.
...that they're Trappist.
It's one of those things. You don't put Trappist on there if you ain't Trappist. You get your ass beat.
Well...
The monks will come up on you and
and the picture beat you of the down. The picture of their brewery on Beer Advocate looks like a monastery. So
yeah, well, if it has the word Trappist in there on their label, then yeah, because everything else is just an abbey. You know what I mean?
Right.
So all the other Belgian breweries that brew out of abbeys. And I'm sure the beer jargon guy, if he hasn't spoken about it already, he knows the difference between just a regular monk and a Trappist monk.
I wonder if he does.
I can't remember if the beer jargon guy talked about Trappist monks.
We should ask him.
Oh, okay, that's a good idea.
And now time for craft beer jargon.
For this week's beer jargon, the term is a Trappist monk. The Trappist order originated in the Cistercian monastery of La Trappe, France. Various Cistercian congregations existed for many years, and by 1664, the Abbot of La Trappe felt the Cistercians were becoming much too liberal. He introduced a strict new rules in the abbey, and strict observance was born. Since this time, many of the rules have been relaxed. However, a fundamental tenet that monasteries should be self-supporting is still maintained by these groups. A monastery brewhouses from different religious orders existed all over Europe since the Middle Ages. From the very beginning, beer was brewed in French Cistercian monasteries following the strict observance. The Trappist, like many other religious people, originally brewed to feed the community in a perspective of self-sufficiency. Today, 7 Trappist breweries remain active. 6 are in Belgium, and 1 just over the Belgian border in the Netherlands.
Thanks, Beer Jargon Guy. That was
Thanks,
very informative.
Beer Jargon Guy. This is a very informative show this week.
It is. So, yeah, that's the Trappist Roquefort number 8. If I was going to pair this with something... I hate to do
I'm sipping.
I don't want to
sipping on some
normally when I do
still.
A normally when I do a food pairing, I'll do like a like some sort of dish. But this right. beer actually would go really well with a cheese, something along the lines of a like a sharp kind of.
How about a Roquefort?
I didn't want to go there.
Just but get down and dirty and get some. Let's just go with some chili cheese fries.
Yeah,
some nacho
that
cheese.
That sounds pretty Belgian to me.
So no, I was thinking. I was thinking more of a nice smooth Velveeta.
Smooth.
No.
Some spray cheese.
Yeah, some cheese whiz.
Cheese whiz.
Cheese de whiz.
You never know. It might be the bomb.
Or that cheese that. Cheese that's in those cheese and cracker packets.
Creamy stuff with the little plastic.
With the little red
rectangle.
Yeah.
It's not even a spoon.
I think
or a knife.
That basically is Velveeta with some gelatin poured in.
Yeah.
So it's a little.
Some solidifying agent.
Yeah.
Gum.
You can chew it.
Cheddar gum.
Ooh. Dude, yeah. Cheese flavored gum? Huh. How come nobody's come up with that yet?
Because it's disgusting.
It's ridiculous.
Dude, they have like
vomit
flavored
jelly beans.
Doesn't Jones Soda make like a turkey soda or something like that that comes out at Thanksgiving? Anyway.
No. Anyway.
Jesus. Can you imagine like chewing on a piece of cheddar in the hot summertime? Don't worry, all this stuff is going to get cut out.
I know.
All right, it has nothing to do with beer.
I know.
Well, cheese. Tune in to the Beer Coasters Cheese podcast next week.
The Cheese Cast.
Ooh.
So, yeah, the Trappist Roquefort number 8. Cheesecast. The rate beer rating on this is a 100 out of 100.
Whoa.
Beer Advocate users give it a 96. And the Alstrom Brothers give it... a 100.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Alstrom Brothers love it.
Yeah. I think that's the first 100 that I've seen from them.
I had one, I think last week it was a 99, or somebody on the show had one that was a 99 from the Brothers. And I was like, that's the highest Brother rating.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Tune in to Curds Your Way with Mike, Toby, and Chris.
Curds Your Way.
All right.
That very is nice. A rim shot if I
These
ever heard.
Belgians
well,
are
Chris, what makes
a punch.
It a number 8? Do you know anything about what the number means?
No. I know that they have 8%? They only have 3. No. It's a 9.2%. They have a 6. What's weird is Beer Advocate lists their number 6 as a Belgian strong dark. And it's 7.5%, and then their 8 lists as a double for 9.2%. And I'm wondering if they have those two mixed up. And then the, so they have a 6, an 8, and the 10, which is their quad. And the quad is an 11.3. percent.
Maybe it does go up.
Weird. Yeah, I don't know. The Belgian strong.
Those crazy Belgians.
Yeah. I can't remember if this is the one that I've tried. I think this is the one that I've tried before. It's got me Crafus Erectus.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Pint ratings, Mike.
Oh. It's me. Snap. Damn. Okay, for the Chimay.
You knew it was you, fool.
The Grand Reserve or the Blue Cap, as some people refer to it as. It was pretty good. It was a bit thinner than I was expecting it to be. It wasn't, I mean, it said Belgian dark, strong ale, and I expected a bit more from it. I'm going to give it a 4. I know this was rated really, really high, but I'm giving it a 4 just because I've had a lot better Belgian dark strong ale. So, but I mean, this is a great one, very drinkable. I'll give it that, especially at the ABV. For my one word, it's going to be chimaybe.
Chimaybe.
And so for awesome. The Saint Felian. The triple, very interesting. Not quite your average triple. Big honey flavor. I really like this one. Super drinkable, and I really, really like that honeycomb flavor and smell of this beer. I'm giving this one a 4.5.
A honeycomb hideout.
And that is my one word, is honeycomb.
There we go.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It's big. Yeah. It's not small. No.
Sweet.
So yeah, there you go.
Toby.
There's me pint ratings.
Chimay Blue, Grand Reserve.
Really? You didn't like it?
it's not bad. I ended up lots of fruit. It's real big. Big fruits, very airy. Very sweet.
I know. It's big fruits.
Yeah, big fruits.
Like watermelon? What the?
Not big fruits, just like big fruits. Lots of fruit. Very natural is what it came across to me as. It had this very natural kind of feeling about it. And very creamy. Mike brought up creamy in his tasting flight beer, and I thought, no, that's what the Chimay is. It has this creaminess to it. I think I'm going to go...
Chimay, didn't I? Go rewind and listen.
Maybe. You said creamy in one of your beers, and I thought, okay, yeah, that's what this is. I'm not a big fan of the Belgian dark, strong beers. It's one of my least favorite Belgian styles, but this one's okay, not bad. I'm going to go 3.5. It's good. I mean, it's drinkable. It's... a nice representation of somebody. If you were to introduce, I wouldn't introduce somebody into the beer world, into the Belgian beer world, with this one. I would start off a little bit lighter and then move up to this one, only because it seems a little more sweeter, I guess. My one word is soft.
Oh.
It's very soft.
Not erectus.
All right, what about your other tasting flight?
Flaccid, that's what I'm looking for. Flaccid. No, soft, not flaccid.
Now you guys are being beer douche kisses.
For the Afligem Noel, I really like this one, man. This one's pretty good. It's very different. It still has a lot of that Belgian dark stuff going on, but with the very, potpourri-ness and the... lemoniness. I end up getting a lot of spices. It felt very Christmassy, very lemony, very like lots of potpourri. It's like if you stick your nose in it, it almost smells like a Glade plug-in, where there's this very fragrant, but not artificial. So it's different from that, but it gives off this very like fragrant smell. So that's my one word, is fragrant. And as far as my rating goes, I would say, I really like it, so I'm going to go with a 4. I don't know if I can go 4.5. Four and a quarter. How about that? 4.25.
Wow.
That might be the first here on the Beer Coasters podcast. 4.25. It's good.
All right. So for my pint ratings, I was thinking about it while you guys were talking about it, and I think that something interesting that we kind of run across, and it's something that we've always done with the show, is that we rate beers based on how we feel about them. Mm-hmm. That sounds strange, but like, we're not rating them on any sort of traditional scale when you talk about rating, right?
Right.
So formula.
If you go to a competition of some sort, there's some sort of guidelines by which to rate, and we don't do that. Because I find, especially with your guys' ratings, if you're looking at Belgians, like traditional Belgians, I think that our idea of what a Belgian is has been warped by the American interpretation.
Right.
Because I think that when we have a Belgian here, something, say, from Amagang or from New Belgium, it tends to be a lot thicker and a lot stronger than what the beers that we had today. That being said, that was just an aside from kind of what I was thinking. For my pint ratings...
You just went Joe Rogan on us.
Sorry. For my first beer, the Delirium Nocturnum, really liked this beer a lot. It's very drinkable. And I think that's another one of the differences that I see in the true Belgians versus the American interpretation.
Yeah.
They're a lot more drinkable than the American versions.
Oh, yeah. This Affligem versus Lost Abbey.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong, Lost Abbey brews some great beers, but this, to me, is way more drinkable if you compare the styles, like a Belgian dark, strong.
These are both ridiculously more drinkable. Yeah, I mean, I had a triple, and I never... I mean, if you I were to blind taste this, I wouldn't guess.
Which is pretty impressive when you factor in the fact of what the alcohol content on these beers are. Yeah. You know, all the alcohol contents, I think they were all over 9,
pretty
weren't they?
Pretty much the same. Yeah, yeah.
So that's a pretty strong beer to be as drinkable as it is. Mm-hmm. You know? So for my Delirium Nocturnum, I really enjoyed it. Again, it was really drinkable. I think I'm going to go 4.5 pints on this one.
All right.
It's a tasty guy. I don't care what you say.
He's sticking to it.
Yeah. Four and a half pints. For the Trappist Roquefort.
Wait, what's your one word?
One word? I'm going to pull a Toby. Pink elephant.
Is that a Toby?
Because it's two words, and that's what you do.
No, Mike does that.
I do that.
Okay.
Fair. Actually, we all
do. We both do that. What's your one word? Let's pick two.
For the Trappist Roquefort, really liked this beer a lot. I really liked the...
We make the rules, we can break the rules. That's right. That's how we see it.
Yeah, it's true.
I really liked...
We do it all the time.
The slightly sour notes that it had in there, I really enjoyed that a lot. I'm actually going to give this a 5-piner.
Wow!
Yeah. It's a beer that...
Damn, that feel.
With the exception of the price, because it's not cheap. I was
going to ask you about that.
I could have a bunch of these. I think that I would down a bunch of these. They're really good.
How much did you... It's a little 12-ounce bottle, right?
It's an 11.2, so it's a 330 mil.
And how much did you pay?
That's what I have. I have my St. Fulian is 11.2.
Yeah, I think most of them are like 330, and then I forget what the next step up from that is. But instead of the 12-ounce bottles that we get here, they do the 330 mil, since they're on the weird metric system. Just kidding. What did you ask me, Toby?
How much did you pay for it? The Roquefort? Because I see it all the time, but I never get it, and I can't remember if it's because of price and size.
It was over $5. It was over $5 for just, you know, a tiny little bottle. I don't remember exactly how much I paid for it, but I know that it was more than you would expect to pay for just one single bottle.
Yeah. You might even be able to find those in four packs, but I think most of the time they're singles.
So yeah, 5 points for the Travis Roquefort monkey.
Huh?
Like M-U-N-K-E-Y.
Oh, monkey. No, monk is M-O-N. No,
M-O-N.
M-O-N-K.
Yeah, there you go. K-Y, not E.
K-Y, no E.
No yeah. E.
Oh, wait a minute. K-Y, that's a whole different thing.
That's, yeah. Tastes nothing like K-Y. Not that I would know what
or K-Y. Monkeys.
Not that I would know what monkeys taste like either.
Oh, jeez. Okay, let's move on.
But you add a monkey and some KY, and you get yourself a party.
Not a party I will be attending, though. So, yeah, those are our pint ratings. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Untapped, and Google+. Subscribe in iTunes and also on Callisto FM. I don't know. Are we still on podcast.com?
I don't think so. I don't know what happened. I went and checked a couple months back, and we weren't on there, so...
Whatever.
Screw them. Yeah, well, don't go to podcast.com, but do go to www.beercoasterspodcast.com. That's our cool website. We'll get all kinds of cool stuff on there. We got our shop link. We get your swag, your shirts and steins and stickers and things. You can check out Toby's Brews paper. It's a little link on there. You click on it. It's a daily brews paper. And it's got all kinds of beer-related news and music and videos and all kinds of cool stuff. So check it out.
Don't forget to tell your friends and tell your friends' friends. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate all of our listeners.
Don't forget to support your local brewery, brew pub, brew bar, beer bar. Drink local, because local is fresh. One other little note in there while we're talking about supporting things. If you haven't heard about the whole SOPA thing, if this bill passes, sites like ours could go away very quickly. So yeah, just be aware of what it is and how important it is that it doesn't pass.
Don't drink and drive. That's just dumb.
And shout outs. You want to give a shout out? Any shout outs this week? I don't think we have any shout outs this week.
No. Shout out to the Belgians, the Trappist monks. You guys rock.
Thanks for keeping it going for over 1,000 years and stuff.
Still brewing. Jeez.
Still brewing after all these millennia. Hey, send us some backwash. We didn't get any backwash this week, so send us some backwash. You can email us backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com or you can drunk dial us at 339-225-9274, or that's 339-BACKWASH without the C.
And a reminder to all of our listeners, this is your show. We're just drinking in it.
Cheers.
A votre sante.
Oh, a votre sante. Clang.
Or as mine is up oo. Gesund hard.
Bless you.
Prost, one of those.
Peace out.
Norway and Denmark next week.
I got the chimay on my lap and it's freezing my balls.
People have the wrong idea about cavity searches. They're really not all that bad.
I can easily make peace with myself, but I know there is no intention to hurt.
Whoa. Is that a monk or a tall jawar?
Sweet with my with my hippie shirt.
Did you already stop recording?
It's your poppy shirt.
I'm still. No. Are you guys still recording?
Yeah. I'm still recording. Oh. You still recording? I'm still recording.
I wanted that recording in there.
Okay,
that's a good thing.
I'm still recording. Should we stop recording?
Yeah, sure. Let's stop recording and then start again, and then I'll drink.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome.